Well, good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Katie Lynn Garnett, Katie. And what we'll be talking about today is fear, the occasion of fear and fear programs, stepping out in faith. And the third name of the call is Oh My God. The reason for that is that I happen to be a person who likes to be very well prepared. And everything that I've chosen to do seems to have that theme where those are good programs to run, to be very well prepared. Going through the various degrees that I've accumulated, you need to be very well prepared. I was a corporate trainer for 35 years, so being very well prepared. I don't necessarily perceive myself or am aware of too many programs on being extemporaneous. And so I've done these calls before, and I've been really happy to have gotten good feedback on them, but I've always had at least a couple of days to prepare. And those are programs that I hold kind of dear, apparently, because I also usually get up around 5 o'clock in the morning, and this morning, for some reason, I overslept. And so I didn't wake up until 7, and I jumped in the shower and got out of the shower, and at 7:15, my phone was ringing, and I recognized the number, and I said, "Hi, Zara, how are you this morning?" And she said, "I'm great, Katie. Can you do the call at 9? And that's when the title, Oh My God, came to mind. And so she said, "Oh, but you're really good at winging it." And I'm thinking, no, can't seem to find that program running. And so I swallowed hard and I said, "Can I call you back?" And so I called her back about 5 minutes later, realizing that yesterday I had written something that I had intended to post on the Yahoo group and will be posting on the Yahoo group today, but just had gotten busy and hadn't gotten time to post it. And it's called Two Ways to Play the Game of Life. And ironically, I thought, oh, well, I can use that as a start. That'll get me going. Well, my computer froze. Okay, so by now, it's 20 to 8, and I'm going, you know, I couldn't even open what I had written in order to pull it up on the screen and read it. And so finally, after about 20, 25 minutes, I finally got it to open. And the way I did was I went in, I had emailed a copy to Bonnie because I love to run things by her because she's so amazing and I get wonderful feedback. So I went into my inbox and clicked on sent, and I made another copy to see if that would open, and it did. So I thought, okay, you know, by this time it's after 8. I go, okay, that's okay. I have something to start with. My Nicholas. Printer refused to work. It just sat there and said, not today. So then I thought, okay, well, I've got it open. I can bring it up on the screen. So I kept clicking, trying to get my printer to work, and I turned it off, and I turned it back on, and it's just not happening. And so I thought, okay, I'll have it up in the corner. I can use that as my stepping-off place, and we'll be good to go. All of a sudden, the printer comes on. I now have 5 copies of it. And so then I couldn't get the conference calling page to open. Anyway, that was kind of, I finally got that to open about 1/4 of. So yes, this is not Indonesia. It's not a tsunami that came at me, but I have to admit, in my tiny little piece of the world, it's been a morning where I get to pull up any fear programs I have about being unprepared and having to wing it and having to be extemporaneous. Things that I consciously say, hey, these are good things to do. And the more you are prepared over time, this is what I tell myself, the more you're prepared over time, the more you'll be able to rise to that occasion. So this is my goal today, is to overcome Oh My God as a title and rise to the occasion. So I welcome you all. I'm so glad you're here. And we're gonna move forward. And the thing that I had written yesterday was an idea that had been percolating through my head about why we get stuck. And there's a million reasons why we get stuck. There's millions of programs and hundreds of thousands of them perhaps individually about why we get stuck in our lives. We know what we want. We know where we want to go. And we're just stuck. And so I happened to be reading a book that was referencing an old mentor of mine, a man named Larry Wilson, who is was a speaker and a motivational speaker, and also the founder of Wilson Learning Corporation. And this was the international training firm that I worked with for over 30 years. And so I came across this reference to him, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I had forgotten this really important concept that he used to talk about. And it's not that life is a game, but also it's not a game. It is a game in the sense that there are rules that if we take a look at them, they're rules of behavior. And some of those rules of behavior we're very familiar with, like taking a look at what we want instead of what we have. That can be perceived as a rule. It's also a really good idea. And so the things that Larry Wilson talked about were two ways of playing the game, playing not to lose and playing to win, and that there's a tremendous difference between those two perceptions, those two attitudes, those two approaches to life. So when we choose way number one, playing not to lose, we're actually playing a zero-sum game with ourselves, because then we're subject to our blocks, our limitations, our thinking about how this is going to be too difficult or scary, or we can't do that. We hear a lot of beta words like don't try, don't move, don't change, don't ask, don't tell, don't speak up, don't stick out, don't risk. So the first thing I'd like to do is find out from some of you what are the ways that in the past you can perceive that you're playing not to lose. Anybody have any examples of that? Okay, you can't all talk at once.
Don't state an opinion.
Don't state an opinion. Mika, thank you.
Uh-huh. And Katie, this is Bonnie.
Yeah.
And it, something that I realized the other day, it's actually, it was, because it got changed, a really deep pattern is how I played, was it play to not lose? So how I played to not lose was to blow up my dreams before anybody else could.
Ah.
And all the way back to childhood, where I remember actually having visions of building my dreams and building a castle, and when I got it exactly the way I wanted to, I would just blow it up, just implode it. And that was my way of working out, I'm going to disappoint myself before someone has a chance to come along and disappoint me.
Oh.
Katie?
And how did that affect you throughout your life? You said you noticed that at childhood?
Well, yeah, looking back, I could remember it. So it has affected every area of my life, because many times it's like the greater the desire for something, the bigger the disappointment. And to prevent, and it's that one, you know, oxymoron that we do. I don't want to be disappointed by another person, so I'll disappoint myself first, because then I'm in control of the disappointment. And if I'm going to lose, then I'm going to lose on purpose, because then I'm in control of the loss. It's a survival strategy. It's very interesting.
Wow.
And not very effective as an adult.
I This is Jewel.
Hi.
Hi. I have one that's kind of similar but doesn't even get that far. I made decisions when I was really, really young that because I didn't want to, like, fail or not be the best, then I would just say, well, I wasn't really trying. You know, and even sometimes just not try, because that way there was no way I could lose if I didn't wasn't even trying.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
Katie?
Deep.
Hi, yeah, thank you.
Hello, this is Carolyn. And going along with what Bonnie said, I can really identify with hers. Another one is just don't talk about your dreams or anything that excites you, because somebody else will knock it down for you or tell you that you're bragging. And you can't talk about really good things that are happening to you because somebody else will be jealous.
Oh. Thank you, Carolina. You know, and I want to hear more. I just want to jump in for a second. I want to hear from more of you. That thing about humility and not bragging, boy, that's another whole hour. That's another whole lesson. And I'm assuming that there's a lot of people out there carrying that that program as well, that we hear so frequently as children. Now, don't brag. And it could come in two directions. Be humble. Or also, like a lot of you have been bringing up with Bonnie and Carolyn and Shul, that if you bring it up, then you've presented people with something, information that they can use to knock you down. And so better you don't step out in the first place. Thank you all so much. And Dee, were you going to say something earlier? Okay, maybe not. What other kinds of things have you all noticed in your life that have been the not-to-lose game?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hi.
For me, it's a sort of a different twist on Bonnie's thing, which is
I've rejected.
Break it myself or fail at it myself so nobody else can make me fail or break it for me.
So again, if we have a sense of control, then.
Mhm. And it won't
yeah.
hurt as much if we do it to, or if I do it to myself.
So that sounds like a really strong program that a lot of us are carrying. That at least if I blow up my castle, at least if I don't try, at least if I do something but don't tell anybody about it, at least then I have this idea that I'm in control. Wow, thank you. Thank you. What other kinds of programs have come up for people in the playing not to lose?
Hi, this is Denise.
Hi.
Mine is basically not speaking up, not standing out in fear of being judged, being criticized, being knocked down.
Ah, thank you. Years ago, when I was a psychologist, one of the areas that I specialized in was assertiveness training. And I chose that as a specialty because that's actually how I got into psychology. I was actually sent or suggested to go for some group work by my brother-in-law, who said, my brother's not even assertive, and he's walking all over you. And so I went to this place for this therapy center for assertiveness training. And I loved it so much. It made such a difference in my life that I ended up switching fields. I was getting a master's at the time in public health, and I switched fields to psychology. And assertiveness training became one of my specialties. And I'm 67 now, and I'm still working on that and changing programs because, like a lot of you have indicated, it's kind of insidious. You don't even know a lot of times that it's there. You don't even know, well, I should say for myself, that I get surprised sometimes when I realize, holy cow, I didn't stand up for myself again. How did that appear? I thought, you know, I'd taken care of a lot of those programs. And so our playing not to lose programs can be really tricky in that a lot of times we don't even realize until we're looking in retrospect to our lives that, holy cow, I haven't been doing this or I haven't been doing that because of subconscious programs I've been running. So one of my goals was to begin to catch that sooner and sooner and sooner. And I think that a lot of my friends would verify that I've gotten way better. And part of getting way better was really, and once I learned the one command, was doing commands to what do I want instead, to be aware of when I'm not stepping out, to be aware of when I'm not speaking up, to be aware, and then, of course, having to do something about it, but at least being able to know that I haven't gotten that far yet, and then change that. Okay, thank you. What other are there? Let's get one or two more, and then we'll move.
This is Tool again. I have one that's pretty important, I think. It came up a little later than the first, than not trying, and it's that if I do better than others or if I win, others lose, I feel bad.
Ah.
So.
Thank you for that. There's a lot of programs that can support that, too. Programs like, well, I'm a nice person, so I'm going to give the other person an opportunity. And none of these sound bad. None of these programs sound bad. But at the same time, they are programs that say, well, then I don't have to try. I don't have to step out because I'm doing this because. And one of the things, I was thinking about a program that was done years ago on the Olympics. And the fact that there's only one gold medal. And this was back all the way back to the 80s. And there was a big discussion about how the people who get the gold medal, they're the only ones that get their faces on cereal boxes and so forth, and that the silver and bronze don't count. And it was this whole big brouhaha, and it was an attempt at that moment, at that point in time, to change our concept about how is there a way to have a belief system that says it's great to win the gold medal, that's wonderful, it's great to try your very best, and at the same time, getting the silver medal is outstanding, and getting to the Olympics is outstanding, and working towards getting to the Olympics is outstanding. And so the only way to change a cultural perception about that is to begin to change that in ourselves. And so we started working on how do we take a look at supporting ourselves in our process? Because we know spiritually and we know from quantum physics that what really counts is our investment in the process. That's where the real success is. The real success is in our investment in the process. And we're so oriented to the outcome. And when we look ahead to the outcome in a way that says, I don't think I can get there, so I'm not even going to try. Or I don't think I can get there because, well, somebody else probably wants it more. Or whatever our program is about getting to the end point, that's one of the ways we stop ourselves from even being willing to move forward. Thank you so much for your examples, and I'd like you to keep those in mind simply from the fact that we never encourage going back into our per se. But, okay, I'm going to mute it for just a second. Somebody called in from their car, which is great, but if you did, if you could hit 4-star or mute. I'm just for a second until I ask you. Okay, I lost the screen. Okay, now I got it.
Conference muted.
Okay, I muted it for just a second so we could get rid of that driving background noise. But what I wanted to say was simply being aware of what our old programs were gives us information to work from for the commands going forward to say, here's what I want instead. So what I'd like to do now is move us forward into the playing to win. And one thing I want to mention is that each of us on this call is most likely looking for a defining moment in our lives. And I just want to say that if we have a dream, then that defining moment has already come. And a defining moment gives us an opportunity to look and say, okay, I'm going to change the way I've been playing this game or working my life or taking a look at how I want to move forward. So one of the things that Larry Wilson always said, was get into the game and stay in the game. In other words, sometimes we'll put our foot in the water and then we'll go, oh man, I didn't know this water was going to be cold. I am out of here. And we scramble back to getting the old same kind of job or whatever it is that we're running back to because we put our toe in the water and the water felt cold. And we said, that's it, I'm not going there. So if we're going to change the game, change our lives, change our perspective, we've got to put our toe in, feel the cold water, and walk in anyway. So when we are unknowingly or being unaware that we're dedicated to playing not to lose, part of that reason is that we're embracing the comfort of the familiar. And that doesn't mean it's good. I mean, I've worked with people privately and in circles who are saying, well, yeah, this is really a lousy job. It's horrible. It's impacting my soul. I hate waking up in the morning to go there. I can't wait to get out. But, and then there's that but word, it's safe. I know it's there. It's secure. And I don't know what happens if I step out and put my toe in the water and it's cold. And what if I've already left that job? I don't know what to do. So I'm not advocating how you step into the river. You can step in keeping that job and moving yourself forward. You can step in by leaving it and moving forward. It's up to you. But the idea is the only way to begin to play to win is to step into it. And so the willing to win choice requires that we embrace the willingness to go as far as we can using all we have. And that's probably one of the very first places where we run into our old programming, the programming that kept us in playing not to lose. Another thing we need to be aware of is that are there going to be setbacks? Well, maybe not with everybody, but it's likely. And that's another place where a lot of us stop and say, I'm going back to playing not to lose, or I'm going back to my comfort zone because I tried this and I stuck with it for a week, a month, even a year, and it doesn't look like it's going to work. Or things look worse than when I started. And the one thing we know, years ago I was working with small business entrepreneurs, and one of the things that the successful entrepreneurs had to a person was the concept of hanging in there. And every one of them said, yes, we had downturns, we had this, we had that, but I knew I was doing what I was meant to do, and I hung in there. And the people who are successful are the ones that hang in there. And that doesn't mean you might not curve on this road or curve on that road, but if you have a passion, it means you hang in there. And they did a study on small businesses back in the 80s, and they found that for the people who failed, a certain percentage of them, I think it was like between 30 and 40%, they actually quit what they were doing. They closed their business within months of a major, major financial turnaround. Now, I don't have all the data in front of me about that. I just remember the bottom line was that they had quit just as they were about to peak. So the only thing we're looking at with a playing to win is the willingness to get in the game and stay in the game. So I'm going to unmute now and find out what are your stories that you have about. Okay, so it's unmuted now. Who has a story of your life when you did play to win?
Hi, this is Denise. I have a story.
Thank you.
I am in the insurance sales business. I just stumbled up on it, not a choice, but thankful to be here going on 10 years. And I was studying to take the licensing test in order to get my license, in order to keep my job. Well, that scared me a lot. I have a fear of testing, first of all. So it seemed like every time I went to take the test, there was something big going on in my life, like a breakup or a move that would stifle me and not give me the ability to focus and concentrate in order to pass the test. Well, it finally got to a point to where, you know, my employer says, I want to keep you. I think that, you know, we could be good together as a team long term, but you have to be licensed in order for us to do that. You know, you could be my assistant, but you can't do what you have been used to doing. We can't go on like this without you unlicensed. So I just came to a point in my mind where I said, you know, it has to happen. And I put everything else aside, and I stepped out of my box, out of my comfort zone, and stayed at the office until midnight every night for as long as it took in order to feel confident that I was prepared and ready to take and pass that test. And when I did that, I did pass that test. And, you know, although in telling the story, it seems small to me, it was one of the major things that has manifested in my life. Hello?
Hi. Oh, who's this? Hi. Well, we almost had it quiet there for a minute. Okay, who else? Thank you so much, Denise, for that story. It really underscores how when we really make up our mind, and that's a defining moment, when we really make up our mind, always accomplish. Who else has a story about when they did win?
Hi, I'm Katie Searles.
Hi, Katie.
How are you? I have kind of an interesting story. I kind of like all my life wanted to have a happy marriage, and not so much about kids, but just to be in a good relationship with a man that was kind of like always, as long as I can remember, something that was inside of me that I wanted to do. But through, I don't know, my life, I went through I don't know how many of the wrong relationships, just time after time after time. But I didn't give up, and 2 years ago at the age 68, I got married for the first time, and I'm really, really happy.
Yeehaw! Good for you.
So I just didn't give up. I don't know when I made up my mind to be successful rather than or have attract an appropriate man instead of so many inappropriate ones. I don't know when that moment was, but I did it anyway somehow.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Who else has a story about when you were clear that this was you were playing the win game? Well, somebody's got a ringing phone. Anybody else have a story where you were very clear that you won? Well, let me tell my story. Fortunately, I've had, even though I run a lot of programs. Hi, go ahead. Hi.
What's the property there?
Hey, what I'm going to do, Jackie, is I'm going to mute for just a minute, and I'm going to tell a short story. Oh, it went silent. Okay. Okay, Jackie, go ahead and try.
Ready?
Okay, that's not going to work. I'm going to mute it for a minute.
Conference muted.
Okay, sorry about that. And Jackie, we'll get your story in just a minute, but I'm muting because we had so much background noise that we couldn't hear. As I started to say, I certainly run a lot of programs that I'm identifying that have been limiting types of programs. But I have to say, of all the successes, the ways that I pulled myself out, the one command is the greatest. I've had other successes, like when I went back to school for my master's degree, I was terrified. I'd been out of school for a really long time, supporting a husband for a decade, and I just thought, well, I'm definitely not smart enough now. And I had to take the SATs and so forth. And I, just like Denise said, I studied and studied and studied, and I went and I aced the SATs. And that really boosted my confidence to go back to school. So there's been various times in my life where I've been able to pull it out of the fire and move myself forward. And the one command has been one of those moments. In 2006, I had pretty much lost, using that word lost, I had lost a lot of things in my life financially, a family member. It just went on and on and on. It was feeling pretty overwhelming. And I was in a wheelchair at the time, partially. And anyway, it was not a good year in 2006. And I really felt like there was no place for me to go, no way up. And at the end of 2006, my dear friend Bonnie Strelow introduced me to the One Command. And for me, the rest is history. I found myself using the One Command for myself. I found myself thinking, gee, I'd like to run circles and starting circles. And then I thought, boy, I really need to know more about this. And by that time, I had moved to Arizona, so I flew back to Washington State. And I just kept stepping into the river and stepping into the river. And I have a life that I really couldn't even have dreamed of in 2006. And I have an entirely new life. I've started an entirely new life at 65 back in 2007. I was 65, and I was starting an entirely new life. So it's never, ever too late to step into the river. As long as you're breathing, you can play to win. So I'm going to unmute again now and see if... Okay, so if you would like to share your playing to win story, please come on in. I think we can do it now.
Wow. Hello?
Yes, hi.
This is Chul.
Hi, Chul.
I think, first of all, I think I'm playing to win today, and I don't have the end of the success story yet, but a couple in the past, I worked through eating disorder, and then subsequently through clinical depression, and I was determined to do it without the aid of pharmaceuticals or being locked up or anything like that. And I just applied. What I did was I said I want to do this the way I want to do this, and I'm going to do everything I can, everything that's within my power, everything I can think of, and even some things that I can't think of. And I hung in there through both of these. And I think there's one principle was that I employed was understanding that I could withstand discomfort for the rewards that came afterwards.
And, oh, beautiful.
There was one other really important principle, and I'm forgetting what it is. Oh, just that I believe that I have an attitude that just because I haven't identified the solution or just because it hasn't worked yet doesn't mean that I'm not going to find one or that I'm not going to triumph.
That's wonderful, Jules. Thank you so much. You bring out a couple of important points, too. You know, we're talking about the process being more important than the end game, and we tend to run a lot of programs culturally about the end game, the end point being the most important issue rather than the process itself. And a lot of times when I get reports from people, because I've been doing circles now since 2007, and I have a collection of stories of how people's lives have changed. Sometimes it's instantaneous, like the Ron story and his heart. Sometimes it's years later and somebody coming back and saying, you know, when I did my command for whatever it was, for a particular kind of work, for example, I thought it was going to look like this. And they talk about the picture they had, and they said, you know, if I hadn't hung in there, if I wasn't willing to shift a little bit here and shift a little bit there, but keep going after essentially what I knew I wanted, I never would have gotten what I have today, and it's so much greater than I ever could have conceived of for myself. And part of getting to where we didn't even know we wanted to be, that we didn't even know we always wanted to be, is to get in the game, stay in the game, keep moving forward, but also be willing to pay very close attention to what arises in our lives. That's another issue, along with the two issues of moving away from playing not to lose and moving into playing to win, is the issue of staying conscious all the time, being willing to be aware of what's going on. And I have a little airplane story. When I was a corporate trainer, I flew all over the world, essentially. But usually I was very willing to interact with my seatmates. And it would be fun and it would pass the time. But there was one time I got on the plane and I was really, really tired. And for a long time, I had always had the desire to be on Oprah Winfrey's show. And so that was just something in the background. But one time I got on the plane and I was just particularly tired and a little bit irritable. And I always got the window seat. And for some reason, I don't know why, I ended up in an aisle seat. And so my seatmate, who was in what I considered my seat at the window, tried to strike up a conversation. And I wasn't rude, but I certainly wasn't very responsive. And so I kind of catnapped and so forth. And just as we were coming in to land, I was feeling better, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, I was just really tired and so who are you and what do you do? And just as the wheels of the plane hit the ground, she said, oh, my name is, and I can't remember her name now, and I couldn't get the file open this morning, but she said, oh, my name is, and I'm a producer. And I actually just am coming from Chicago from a meeting with Oprah because she and I are starting a new channel on TV, and we're looking for, you know, people to work with us. And I went, oh, damn, in my head, because by then we're taxiing up to, you know, getting off. Oh, it's so nice to meet you. And and that was a moment. Who knows? It might have never have gone anywhere anyway. But the point is, I certainly wasn't at the top of my game, and it's a moment I remember that reminds me, stay awake, stay aware, stay interactive with people, because you could be sitting next to Oprah's producer. So it's just one of those reminders. When we're playing to win, it really behooves us to stay alert, to be looking for the new directions or new ideas or new resources or new people we would love to know that pop up in our path that we have an opportunity to move toward. So does anybody else have any stories or things that have come to mind for you about either playing to win or staying awake, staying aware? Well, we definitely have a machine running in the background. Any stories?
Katie?
Yes.
Hi, this is Carolyn. When I was in graduate school 30 years ago, I was getting my degree in counseling, and I was just about ready to get out, and one of the instructors came to me and said, you know, you're not going to get a job. Nobody's going to hire you because you're blind. You're just, you know, I don't even know why you're here. And I said, well, you know, I made it through undergraduate school, and I made it through graduate school with good grades, so I'm going to get a job. You don't have to worry about that, but if that's the way you want to think, that's your choice. So I got out of graduate school on the 7th of December. I had a job by January 1st with the police department as a counselor and worked there for 4 years before I went into other things. But I was just determined that I was going to show them, you know, your stereotypes are your issues. They're not mine.
Carolyn, you are amazing. Thank you so much for that story. And that serves us in a lot of ways, too, what you shared, because it's not just a matter of other people's concepts that we can decide not to allow to influence our lives in any negative way, but our concepts about ourselves. And you clearly had much better programs running than he did, and you had programs running that said, yes, I can. And so when we look at ourselves, how many programs can we be alert to instantly that, oh, okay, I get it now. These are the parameters or the barriers that I set up for myself, and they're not even true. They're just not even true, because if I think that I had somebody tell me once, I think they were like 57, and I'm 67, and they didn't know my age, and they were saying, well, you know, it's really too late for me to start a new career, because after all, I'm 57. Who would hire somebody 57? Who would do this? Who would do that? And they're going on and on and on, and I said, oh, by the way, I'm 67. And so it's really a matter of taking a look at, I get to redefine who I am, even to myself. And if I've been my own block, then I need to just get out of my own way or get over myself, get out of my own way, move myself forward. So, Carolyn, thank you so much for your story. Okay, who else has a story about stepping out and playing to win?
This is too old. It's not a story. I just have about staying awake. I have noticed
how important it is to not to be living in the in all the beta chatter in the like judgment. You know, thinking judgmental thoughts or fear thoughts or any of those thoughts, just running that chatter, I'm not going to be awake to see what somebody, you know, what resource might be there.
Our driver in the background. At least that's what the background sounds like. But we'll keep trying to get stories in between. So thank you, Jill. Anybody else as we move down towards closing for today? Anybody else have a story?
This is Diane, Katie.
Hi.
Hi. I have one story, and I thought, you know what, I'm listening to myself. I'm like, oh, my God, I've like five stories came to mind that I could say, and I'm not saying them. And I'm like, well, if that isn't playing to lose or, you know, playing not to, you know, whatever the first category was. So I will go for the latest story that came to mind here. And that was back in 95, I was in a car accident, and I had a closed head injury. And it was pretty serious, meaning, you know, as far as it's the kind where nobody can tell anything's wrong, except it's, you know, you can't really see, you can't put the key in the lock, and all of that sort of thing. And so I went through the whole protocol of the testing and the, you know, this and the that, and trying to navigate. And I'm very alternative in health, and so I knew whatever I would do, I would not get involved with regular medicine. I was a nurse at one time. I was already there. So I was an entrepreneur, and I collapsed. You know, I couldn't work and the whole thing. So let's just say it was quite an event in my life that changed my life. Well, I went to, in trying to navigate, I'm listening to my body, and my body is telling me what to do to heal itself. And I'm being told, no, this is permanent. You will never, you know, you will always be affected. You know, you can't do this and can't do that. Well, in trying to find, you know, people to get the footholds in that, I went to a couple of meetings with closed head individuals, and the groundwork that I made within 6 months, I was doing much, much, much better. And but if I went to the meeting, it's I was right where they were, which was, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to be, you know, to go into what you're supposed to be, because I will be that. I couldn't, you know, I was back to square one. So after the second time I got it, and then since then, I've listened to my body. It has showed me what to do to be able to concentrate. And at this point, where are we, 15 years later, I don't even realize. I have to remember that actually happened, and it didn't really happen. You know, it's like it was another time and world and almost another person.
Oh, great, thank you.
Conference muted.
Diane, I want to thank you so much for that story. And again, when we get to go back and take a look at our lives and say, okay, where was I playing to lose? Where was I playing to win? And what's my choice now? Where do I absolutely want to go now? And it's that lesson that that Bonnie especially brings up on the Yahoo group all the time. What do you want instead? What do you want instead? What do you want instead? And as long as we keep our focus there, it's okay. It's actually good for us to be aware, okay, what program was I running? Now, what do I want instead? So Diane and Carolyn and everybody, Chul, thank you so much for your stories. And it's gotten, and you know, I just want to underscore that the best way for us to learn from each other is always to share our stories. And again, Diane, thank you, because you mentioned, well, I've had these stories in the back of my mind, but I hadn't said them. And what game was that? Was that way one or way two? It was to lose. And so now I'm stepping into playing the win, and I'm going to share that story. So one of the things as circle leaders is I always emphasize in the training that when you're teaching people, the best way, besides giving them you do this, you do this, you do this, is to really exemplify everything with your stories. And sharing stories is what happened, this is how this turned out. And sharing people's stories in the group, like the Vibrant Health story and the I Don't Know How I Have a Peaceful Relationship With story. These are all stories that say, here's the brief beginning, here's the brief middle, but here's what happened at the end of that when people directed themselves to, here's what I want instead. So I'm going to go ahead and leave us muted so that we can do some commands. And if you will all get yourself comfortable and close your eyes, watching your energy, taking in a deep breath, letting it out slowly, and watch your energy as it goes down through your body, down through your legs, out through the bottom of your feet. And you're sending your energy into the magnetic center of the earth, knowing that we are electromagnetic beings. And you pass down through all the layers of the earth, the rocks, the soil, the water, the precious and semi-precious stones, the absolutely amazing creations of our planet. And your energy arrives in the electromagnetic center of the earth. And now you bring that energy back up from the center of the earth, bringing it back up through all the layers, the gems, the rocks, the soil, the water, back up through the bottom of your feet, up your legs to your core. And you watch as your energy encircles your heart 360 degrees. With your eyes still closed, you glance down at your heart, watching that, appreciating your heart, and watching that energy encircle your heart. And you notice the beam of light that comes down through the top of your head. That's always there. It comes down through the top of your head to your core. It encircles your heart. It continues down through your body into the planet. With your eyes always closed, you allow your eyes to gently roll up in the top of your head, watching that beam of light as it goes out through the top of your head, out through the atmosphere, out through the stratosphere, deep into the Milky Way, passing all the billions of planets, moving out the other side of the Milky Way into the deep black velvet of space. And suddenly you notice that the black velvet has parted, and there is the light of Source. And in Theta, you will hear these one commands. I don't know how. I know clearly what I want in my life. I only know I do now, and I am fulfilled. I don't know how I allow and encourage myself to step out in faith. only know I do now, and I am fulfilled. I don't know how I love and embrace new adventures in my life. I only know I do now, and I am fulfilled. I don't know how I am aware of all the good things in my life. I only know I am now, and I am fulfilled. And in that space of fulfillment, you move to expansion. And in expansion, you are downloading ideas, resources, information. You may see things or feel things or hear things. You may simply have an incredible sense of peace. And from this space of expansion, you move to the space of receiving in gratitude. And as your energy filters back into your body, you see your DNA and you watch as you unwind and unwind and unwind old limiting beliefs. And wind in the new, winding in and rewinding, rewinding, rewinding. The clarity, the courage, the fun, the joy. Rewinding and rewinding. And then you take in a deep breath as you allow your energy to fully come back into your body. And when you feel like it, just open your eyes. Well, I'm trying to unmute the conference so that I can...
Conference muted.
Well, I want to thank you all so much for being on the call today. I appreciate you sharing your stories. Again, just to underscore that when we share our stories, when we share our lives, and I'm talking about now those brief to the point, this is what happens, this is what I want instead. When we take ourselves to that place, we've accomplished miracles. So thank you all for being on the call.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll
pleasure.
I'll be on the
thank
call.
Thank you, Katie.
I don't know who will be our moderator, but I will be listening in with all of you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Katie.
Bye.
Thank you,
Katie.
Katie, bye.
Thank you.